We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I know you wanted to get into what to do with guys like Trent Williams because you're big on shutting them down.
I certainly am. I mean, John Keim wrote this and a number of guys have kind of talked about how they're going to approach these last four games. And most people are going to be your team, which is team do everything you can to win the game.
Well, let me say this real quick, because you keep saying that. I would shut Trent Williams down in a heartbeat. I think they're two very different things, which
fair.
Is trying to win games, and then as far as injuries go, this is case by case. Like Jordan Reed, I would shut down at this point as well.
Oh, then we're lockstep then.
Yeah, I would shut down Trent Williams. I would shut down Jordan Reed. I wouldn't shut down Morgan Moses, because I don't think he's at risk of needing surgery or anything. It's an ankle. It's hurt. So if he can play, play, and if he can't, he can't. I would even say this. I shouldn't even say I'd shut down Jordan Reed. I would just not play him for the next couple weeks. And if with two games to go, he's able to play and he's healthy, I'd play him. To me, it's case by case and are you healthy enough to play? I'm not going to view it differently in week 15 or in week 16 than I would in week 8. If you're healthy enough to play, you play. And if you're not, you don't. I guess that's probably where we disagree.
Right. That's where the disconnect
is. But Trent, because he needs surgery and because this could linger with a long recovery, I need him ready for the start of next year. I would have shut him down the day after you lost to the Cowboys.
Yeah. So for him, for Jordan Reed, for Moses, I am shutting down because I can't live with the, hey, this is what we're counting on for the game, and every other play has got to come off, and we've got to shift my offensive line around. I'm going to shut him down. I'm shutting, as I touched on, I probably shut down Ioannidis, not the same guy since he's come back with that hand. He's fighting through it. I respect all these guys for fighting.
But he can't get hurt worse necessarily by playing. You know, as they've said a couple of times. Basically,
sure.
You wrap that hand. There's some pain, clearly, to play through, and he's not himself. But I think he still benefits immensely from being on the field. He's a young guy.
He's
a second-year player. He's going to see things in games, running stunts and running twists, particularly in division games against Giants offensive linemen who are going to be on that team next year. You know, against teams like the Cardinals, you could play an important conference game to make the playoffs against next year. You can benefit from being on the field. To me, shutting a guy like that down, who's not at risk, I don't get that.
That's where we disagree. I think you are at risk when you're compensating. I think that's the danger. You've got to do something extra because you know you've got pain here, and that leads to bad habits and bad things.
At risk of not being available next September? Next time you need him?
Well, I mean, I don't treat injuries callously because if you need surgery, that's a major deal. I think you're risking something when you go out there for something that's limited. I would not bring Jonathan Allen back, for example. There's a number of things that
I would do. That's a given.
Yeah, but seems like they're still planning on doing that, you know, and that's something that frustrates me about this because we're in a culture where if you're secure enough, like for the sake of argument, let's say the Steelers were out of it, right? Let's say something weird happened and the Steelers were in the same spot as the Redskins. Mike Tomlin has enough security, has enough established to not have to, you know, throw guys out there. Now, whether the Pittsburgh Steelers would do this or not, but bear with me. He didn't have to play a guy that's back from injury that's a first-round draft pick just to squeeze out an extra win to make everybody feel better. The Steelers are secure enough as an organization to say, hey, let's do the right thing long term. Let's think long term. Whereas when a coach, to me, is sitting there, like, you know, in Indianapolis, Chuck Pagano's going, if Andrew Luck can play, we'll throw him out there. Please don't do that. Please take care of your long-term investment. Please be smart about this thing and not throw him to the wolves just so you could squeeze out one more win to have your next job interview look better. I need security on down. I need an empowered head coach, an empowered general manager, a front office that's all on the same page. The Redskins don't do that. So Jay Gruden's looking around going, even though I got an extension, everybody gets fired from here. So I better squeeze out one or two more wins.
They're not having players come back and play because they're fearing for their jobs or because they feel like they need to win one more game. That's just the league. That is the way that you operate. You do everything you can every single week with whoever's available to you to win, and then you try it again the next week. If you want to shut guys down when you've lost the season, you could do that. I don't think anyone's going to take that lightly, but Jay Gruden's not more likely to lose his job if he shuts down Trent Williams and Morgan Moses and whoever else because they lose one more game. No, if they go 0-4 down the stretch as opposed to 4-0 down the stretch, yeah, how Dan Snyder views Jay Gruden at the start of the season could alter. But he's not making decisions on health of players, really even thinking about it, based on his job status. I think it's literally as simple as the doctors are saying, hey, here's the deal, man. You play, you're going to be fine. You're going to be in some pain. Or you play, you got a chance to hurt this worse. And you heard Vernon Davis say this week, and I think Rich Taylor just mentioned this. These guys, some of them, have $60,000 payments just by being on the field in these games that are up for grabs. So for the business standpoint, some of them with game streaks or just the fact that as a professional, I don't like not coming in. CK tried to give me off on the Friday after Thanksgiving like four times. I don't understand why. I kept saying, yeah, I got to work at NBC Sports Washington that day right afterwards. So doesn't really help me that much to just sit at home and do nothing. Oh, just sit at, like, some guys just like to work. So you're gonna tell someone who isn't hurt and is just going through pains of the end of the season, like everyone else they see around them, a lot of them, not to play because they're in pain?
Yes, and here's why. Because that $60,000 would be nice, but I'd rather have you a whole other year where you're making millions.
Yeah, but my point is, you keep saying that. Morgan Moses is not less likely to be healthy in September by playing in the last month of this season. And if he was, he wouldn't play. Like, the team's not stupid. I don't know if you're assuming that the training staff is stupid and they're risking him for next year. But, like, Matt Ioannidis, because he has a broken hand that's wrapped, playing against the Cardinals and the Broncos is in no way putting him in jeopardy for the 2018 season.
Well, this is where we'll disagree then.
Well, you're disagreeing with a lot of medical people who get paid a lot of money at Redskins Park.
No, what I'm disagreeing with is the idea that a guy on two sprained ankles isn't at further risk for something else. That's what I'm saying. Morgan Moses goes down every single play. He's rolled up on every single play. Can lead to terrible habits. Just ask Ryan Zimmerman. All it was an ab soreness on his side that led to a shoulder problem that changed his career forever. And that's not even an offensive lineman that's going up against 270-pound animals every time. For Morgan Moses, who's going out there on two hurt ankles, he's absolutely at more risk.
So you're going to shut down pretty much everyone who's dealing with anything.
Yes,
that's
absolutely
insane. I mean, that's just insane.
It's smart thinking. It's forward thinking that no one does. It's correct. And everybody does the tough guy. You can play out there. You get out there and give it your all. It's pointless.
So if
it's
you have
a
sprained
exercise.
Ankle, you're done for the season. If you roll your ankle, you're cooked.
For Morgan Moses' case?
I'm saying if Josh Norman rolls his ankle and could hobble back on the field or could play the next 3 weeks and is going to be in some pain during the week getting ready.
Yeah, I'm not having a hobbled guy out there for no good reason. Because a hobbled guy leads to bad things.
But he won't be hobbled next week. I'm saying he's got to rehab it and basically battle to get back out on the field at 90%.
Yeah, I'm looking at Morgan Moses as someone that needs some time. So that time will then the season will expire.
You shutting him down?
I don't know the extent of his injuries, to be honest with you.
He gets hurt every game, just like Morgan Moses.
If it's a back
comes
problem,
off the field, he's in a walking boot after every game.
Does he need a month to fully recover? Then
yeah.
Yes.
I'd say 30 guys on the team need a month to fully recover. Right.
Yeah, then that's what I'm doing. I'm shut down Zach
shutting
Brown.
Shutting down all 30 of them.
No, whoever needs the time. If you can be better in 2 weeks, then you can play in 2 weeks.
Right.
But if you have a lingering injury where you're just sitting there, you're hurt all the time. I'm not bringing you back for a game that's pointless. I won't do it. It's my same thing for the preseason. It's why the league has adjusted to that. They figured out that you don't waste bullets in week number four of the preseason anymore. Starters barely play now in weeks one and two. The third game is the dress rehearsal. The league has wised up to that. You only get so many shots out of your gun for the course of your career. They don't waste it on times that are irrelevant, don't really matter. I know there's some value. There's more value in career longevity to me than there is, hey, we beat the Giants in week 17 to go 7-9. Congrats. People are wising up to that, I think.
I guess. Yeah. I just don't. We disagree on this one. Let's take some calls. I want to see what people think. Because the idea that you should shut down anyone who's not 100% in a sport where no one's 100% right now, I can't play along with. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067.
It's Grant and Danny, Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
George is in Fredericksburg. What's up, George?
What's up, fellas?
Hey,
y'all doing?
What's up, man?
Good.
Hey, I think I'm signing more with Danny, and the reason why I say that is for a caveat of reasons. Most first and foremost is the NFL doesn't have a developmental league. So what incentive do you have for putting an established veteran that can only either further damage himself or is in a limited capacity when you could develop or attempt to develop this young guy? Like, I mean, yes, they're not mathematically eliminated, but let's be honest, they're not making the playoffs.
Okay,
so let's develop some of these young kids.
Why not worry about that in 2 weeks when they are mathematically eliminated, or in 3 weeks? You could still get to 9-7. You could still have a winning season and make the playoffs. If a guy can't play, he shouldn't play. But if he can play, you shouldn't view this week different than you did the Dallas game.
I don't know, Grant. I'm with Danny on this one because, again, I mean, like, if I'm Morgan Moses and he blows out a knee as a result of playing in a limited capacity, then what do you say then?
Well, I just don't think that's realistic. That's all.
But you have to acknowledge that playing on two sprained ankles puts him at more risk, doesn't it? Because, I mean, he's down every play. He's been rolled up on a bunch of times, and we're lucky it hasn't been worse.
I know that you're saying that. I think if he was at risk of blowing out his knee by playing on two sprained ankles, he wouldn't play. I think that the doctors who evaluate him and actually touch his body all the time know what he's at risk of and what he's not, and they wouldn't let him play if he was at risk of a serious injury. He was asked about this a couple weeks ago,
right,
and he basically said, I'm in a lot of pain, and for me, that's the problem is I've got to play through the pain, but this is not something that can get worse.
Yeah, that's why head coaches get paid a lot of money to be the adult and say, you've done everything you're supposed to do. No one's faulting you, Morgan Moses, but I can't keep trotting you out there because this A, it's not getting any better, and B, I don't know why this isn't intuitive, but you're more risk now for injury based on the fact that you're hobbled around. And when you compensate for injury, for being in pain, that's when some terrible things can happen. You're more susceptible to that. That's just the way sports works. That's the way your body
works. But why wouldn't a doctor say to Jay Gruden he shouldn't be out there then?
Because they're asking
the case.
Because we need him right now. You're more specifically talking about the ankles.
But they don't make decisions based on if you need him right now. Jay Gruden may make the decision
that
way.
Sure they are.
The doctor's not making that decision. Absolutely not.
The question is your ankle more or less at risk? That's the question they're asking. They're not saying like, hey, is his shoulder going to get out of alignment because he has a set a certain way because he can't drop his back heel, or
right,
is his Achilles more at risk? That's not the question that's being asked. It's, is his ankle at risk of being hurt worse? And they'll say no, because it's just a sprain.
Right.
It is what it is. My point is, a guy rolling around compensating for injury is more at risk for injury. That's just, we've got since the beginning of sports and time to tell us that.
And in 2 weeks, if and when you're eliminated, if you're 5-9, then I might be willing to meet you in the middle on that. But as of right now, I will defer to the doctor telling me that his ankle is perfectly fine to play on. If he wants to gut through it and all that you're dealing with is
right,
the pain, that's up to him. And in the meantime, I'm going to try to go win another football game and get into the thick of things in the wild card chase, which I still very much, if I go 4-0, would have a chance at. Mike in Lanham, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Sorry, Grant, I'm going to have to side with Danny on this one. And maybe we're just kind of, seems like we're debating Morgan Moses the most. To me,
that's,
he's got a
case,
chronic kind of situation. It's not like he sprained an ankle, went a couple weeks, he's a little sore. I mean, like Danny said, every time I see him in a play, he's getting up off the ground. And correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't he carted off the field last week?
So he was.
Clearly his ankles are weak right now. Can he play through the pain? Yes. But could that lead to serious injury? Could that lead to him overcompensating for his ankles? I mean, at this point, he's someone that needs to be shut down. Now, if there's other players that are a little banged up.
Let me ask you this.
Sure.
So you don't have Trent Williams at left tackle already, and now you don't have Morgan Moses at right tackle. Ty Nsekhe was an absolute abject disaster this past week, and Tyler Catalina, who's not a tackle, would be your other starting tackle, was like your fifth guy you've used. Now you're subjecting Kirk Cousins and Samaje Perine and the rest of the team to that tackle play? No. Morgan Moses is a better player at 75 or 85%, and he's not at risk. What happens if you don't play Morgan Moses because you shut him down and Kirk Cousins blows out an ACL because he gets hit from the blind side and he's out for 11 months and most of next season? Are you better off for having sat Morgan Moses to play Tyler Catalina then, if we want to talk about fake injuries that may not happen? Mo in Woodbridge, what's up?
What's up, man?
Hey, Mo.
I'm all for it. I say to everybody who's injured, and then we can see these young dudes get some check. I want to see Jeremy Sprinkle. I want to see the dude, Josh Hobbs, Clemens, even on defense. Sit Zach Brown, too. I'm for tanking and getting us to the top 10 and getting us a high prospect. And as far as Kirk Cousins, go ahead and sit him, too. I mean, because he's getting blown up behind his line now. So once you sit Trent, regardless of whether or not you sit Morgan Moses, he's going to get punished. Go ahead and put Colt McCoy out there. Let him be the crash test dummy for the next couple of weeks when we get ready for next season.
So now you're sitting basically the entire team for a quarter of
which
the
I
year.
Have no problem with, because, again, you're out of it. The idea that they're in this wild card thing, it requires Seattle to lose all four games, Carolina to lose all four games, a tie in there between Atlanta and somebody else. It's unrealistic. It is.
I don't think it's quite that extreme.
It is. They've got seven losses, Grant, and the teams that they're chasing have four. So they're three games behind in the loss column. It requires
right. They would have tiebreakers over Seattle as an example. I'm just saying what you just said is not. I don't think that's completely correct.
So Seattle.
I think if Seattle goes 3-1, the Redskins would catch them.
Right, but they would catch that team. But it doesn't account for Atlanta.
They'd go 4-0. That's not right. It's not as crazy as you think it is.
It's 100% crazy because they have to climb over Green Bay, Detroit, Atlanta, Carolina, and Seattle. So even if they catch Seattle, there are three other teams that will easily supersede
them. One of those
them.
Teams would be one of the top wild cards. They don't have to climb over all of them.
Carolina
would
is 8-4 right now.
Yes. Yep. So they'd only have to climb. In other words, there's one less team to climb over because they could be the second wild card. See what I'm saying? Carolina would be the top wild card, right? Aren't they the top wild card right now?
No, they're the second wild card.
Who's the top?
Seattle is.
Okay. But so of the teams you name, you don't have to climb over all of them is all I'm saying. Of those teams, was it five of them?
Yeah.
You have to climb over four of them. Because one of them is going to be the other wild card.
Well, some of these teams play each other. So my point is the permutation is now way less than 1%.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm saying the Redskins are probably not making the playoffs. I agree.
Okay.
But I'm saying, if you think I'm sitting here saying they're going to make the playoffs, you're crazy. I've been saying for 2 weeks they're not going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
What I am saying is, let's worry about what you do about them being eliminated after they've been eliminated. Until then, let's act as if. Let's try to win football games. The goal coming into the year, to me, I said if they get to 9-7, that's an outstanding season. Their goal right now should be to get to 9-7. That should be their goal right now. Forget about the playoffs. You can't control that. What I can control is, can I get to a winning record for the third time in three seasons under Jay Gruden, which would be a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, that's where we'll disagree, because I don't care about that, because that's empty.
Right, but you'd also tank and pick six spots higher if that's somehow better off.
Well, it is, because I'm not begging. I'm not saying snap the ball and spike it. I'm saying you get young players. Yeah, play Robert Davis this week. See what you have.
He doesn't mean anything long-term to them.
Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. You don't know. I want to see. I'd like to see some of the kids.
But we've played that game with Anthony Armstrong and play this guy and that guy who are here in a year and gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, play your best football players. That's what they should do.
To what end?
To try to win the game that they had this weekend.
So you're Herm Edwardsing this thing? So you feel happy that they went 9-7 and
absolutely
missed the playoffs?
Not.
That's a worse position to be in than to...
I disagree. 9-7 and missing the playoffs is a worse position to be in than what?
Than having more draft stock, than having the ability to maneuver, get more picks. And
Patriots never draft in the first round. The Steelers never draft
Patriots
in the top
20. Patriots have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in a great organization. Can we get that?
The Steelers never draft in the top 20. The idea that drafting 14th is so much better than drafting 19th. This is not the NBA or Major League Baseball, where all the best players are off the board in the top 12.
You see what it costs to move from 6 to 2, when the Redskins changed the direction of their franchise forever because of it.
If you want to talk about five versus two in the lottery, I think that's a big difference.
Yeah, I'd rather be in the top. Right now, they're 12th, and if they win their last four games, they'll be around 20 again. And we saw how much better they got.
I don't think the difference is substantial enough to warrant basically being okay losing three or four games in a row.
Right, we'll disagree then forever. About that. Because to me, you've got more leverage. And I want leverage. I want the ability.
Leverage for what?
Someone could demand that pick. Someone loves that pick so much that they give you a whole bunch, like San Francisco sitting there minding their business and dumb Chicago trading up to get them stuff.
At what cost? At the cost of if you go 5-11. Mm-hmm. Well,
it'd be 5-11 because they have four games left.
I just don't think that's realistic. I guess I would say 6-10 maybe is the most realistic bad outcome. If you go 6-10. It's more likely that your quarterback, who said this year is about figuring out what this team is less likely to want to come back. It's more likely that your head coach might be blown out, which I think would be a huge setback and a detriment to the organization.
We agree there.
So to me, what's most important is to have a good process. And I think the best way for them to maintain having the process that they've had that's turned the corner over the last 3 years is to have a winning record again so that people can very obviously see the writing on the wall.
Isn't that like saying, well, I don't want her to have a top five pick because he's going to screw it up? At a certain point, don't you have to have the right process?
Yeah, I think their process has gotten a lot better. I think they've got a very good process.
Right, so they're going to start firing people. Well, I don't know. It sounds like you want it both ways when you talk about the process.
I don't know what you're talking about, so you'll have to explain that to me next. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.